Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Lombardi Line. I am Dave Ross here at Circus Sports Fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada with our GM, Michael Lombardi, back home on the East Coast. Michael, what a wild Monday night game we saw last night. 41-32, Broncos get the win in the cover.
You want to go to bed. Like, you get this game over. I'm tired. I want to go to sleep. You see, you're lucky. You're on the West Coast. You don't have to deal with that. Like, I'm watching it. I'm like, come on, I need to go to sleep. Okay, I got to get up, but I got to get going. And I'm like, can just put this game away so I can watch the last quarter knowing that the game's over. And it just wouldn't go away, would it? It just wouldn't go away.
No, it's incredible to think about, too, that the total was 41.5. And the final was 41-32. I mean, I don't know how you saw that many points coming here from the Denver side. They get two pick sixes. Obviously, it's the Jameis Winston game with the 497 that he threw for, but also gave up those two pick sixes, included in three interceptions. But, Michael, it is fascinating because I know you love this Denver team. You gave it out on the network. Great call by you all summer long. The overplay in the Broncos, 5.5, I believe, is, you know, some places for the win total here. So they've already got 8 wins of the year. I guess my question for you here now, Michael, is how far can this team really go? It's a rookie quarterback, and normally you don't want to bet on a rookie quarterback in a second season, but they're minus 250 now to make the postseason, 16-1 to win the AFC. That seems absurd if we had this conversation 3 months ago, but now, Michael, it doesn't seem as absurd.
But with a giant noose around their neck too, Dave, let's not forget about that, right? Yeah. I mean, this team is carrying Russell Wilson's debt, you know, and you could say, well, look, why didn't Russell do for them what he's doing for them? Well, it's just a different system, right? This is why the NFL is so hard, right? It's not baseball. You can play third base for the Mets and go play third base for the Yankees in the same day. Mm-hmm. Football is a completely different sport. And when you're carrying, you know, when you're carrying all this cap debt that they are, $53 million worth of it, you know, it takes away from your cap. So, you know, I think to me, you know, between Randy Gregory, Tim Patrick, and Justin Steele, that puts them over 60 million of guys that they cleared out of there. Frank Clark was there and he's still on 3 million on their debt. Wow. So I think to me, you got to give Sean credit, but they have a great future. Look, the one thing about the Denver Broncos and Sean Payton, he was trained by Bill Parcells. And so he understands every game is different. Like, I'm sure he's kicking himself. And one of the things he's got to get better at is, for whatever reasons, Williams isn't the same running back that he was before the knee injury. Mm-hmm. He's just not. And they need to get a more power back. And I think that's one of the things Sean would want. They need to have that guy that can kind of keep going. Last night he had 4 carries for 1 yard. And McLaughlin is a good player. He's a loose player. He's their Darren Sproles, if you remember this.
Oh, yes.
Remember the New Orleans Saints, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to find a banger, because I think at the end of the day, when you're playing a team like Cleveland and your defense isn't playing well, you want to try to control the game a little bit more by able to slow the game down a little bit. And he can't do that. But I'll say this. They'll go – if they have to go into Buffalo – they won with Russell Wilson in Buffalo last year. They could play Buffalo really well. You know, remember I said last in the with Matt Humans, playing Buffalo is like playing $5 blackjack. You can't get impatient. You just got to take the little profits, and you got to score when you get the ball in the red zone. And that's what Sean would do. It would be a hard — I'm not saying Buffalo couldn't win the game.
Sure.
I just think it's a hard game for that because of the way they play. And give Denver credit, their defense. Now they go play Baltimore. You know, Baltimore, they couldn't stop Baltimore. Baltimore moved the ball effectively on them, and that's not the game they can win. They don't want to get into a true track meet like Baltimore put them in, or play from behind like Baltimore did.
And by the way, the reason why you bring that up, that Buffalo comparison, that would be, if this playoff started today, that would be the matchup. It'd be Buffalo hosting Denver. right now in the AFC the way it projects, but we'll see if things change.
What do you think that line would be, David? What do you think that line would be if Denver goes into Buffalo? 6.5, 7?
7. Yeah, that's what I think. We'd be right there at a touchdown somewhere. And I'd probably be looking to take the points.
I think everybody would. I think there would be one of those. It would be the ultimate teaser play right there. Yeah. You could see Harry Gagnon just loving to come in and do a teaser with probably do it with Iowa wrestling, probably having somebody at Iowa wrestling combine it with that, you know.
I think you're right on it. It would be a teaser spot that you tease down Buffalo, but you could go the other way and go up to 13 with Denver, because I'm with you. It could be a one possession type game if that number set at 7, if that's in fact a first round matchup. But that's the way it projects today. So they get the win, they get the cover, they get closer to getting into the postseason. I do want to get to something with the Chicago Bears, because we know that Thomas Brown now is the interim head coach, and they're going to be back in action this week against the 49ers, and that's going to get us to what's on your mind today. But I want you to hear from the team president, Kevin Warren, discussing how attractive this job potentially can be.
We have the greatest fans that I talked about earlier. They are passionate. I appreciate and embrace that passion. Secondly, is that we have a great tradition of the Chicago Bears. It is really special in all of sports. We're going to have plenty of salary cap space. We have a young, talented roster. We have strong draft capital in the upcoming draft. And we have a quarterback in Caleb Williams who's shown he is very special, and in the right environment, he can become even more special than he already has shown. All of these elements, as we sit here today, we are in a unique situation. This will be the most coveted job in the National Football League this year.
He's right about a lot of things he said there. You know, they do have cap room. They do have a ton of draft picks. But I think, to me, it's going to come down to what coach is going to want Ryan Poles to control the roster. I think that's what it's all going to come down to. Sean Payton took the job in Denver because George Payton wasn't going to be in control of the roster anymore. And Kevin's got to look at his roster and say, are we sure we built this team the right way? Are we sure Ryan Poles knows how to build a team? He's sitting there and he's going to give him full authority to run the team. My sense of this will be, if Thomas Brown can do anything, Thomas Brown will keep this job. Mm. I think Thomas Brown will develop a relationship offensively. He's already made the quarterback play better. And I think if he can command the room, I think he'll keep the job. Look, the Bears have great legacy. There's no question about it. It's a historic franchise. It goes back to Ralph Hayes Automobile Dealership in Canton, Ohio. It's tremendous. And their fans are beyond great. They really are. They're some of the best fans ever. They support the team, and they bet the team even when it's a ridiculous bet. So I agree with a lot of what he said, but I think there's all the elements of who's controlling that. Who's making these decisions? Because this roster, if you talk to Matt Eberflus, he would not agree with any of that with Kevin Warren said about how this team is set perfectly up for the future, because some of the mistakes they've made in signing players.
Michael, my question to you, when I hear that from Kevin Warren, there felt like there was some politician in there, that he's almost politicking to sell a job to whoever that is. Like, hey, this is a great opportunity. Come, we got everything for you. We just need the right guy to lead it. Did you get that feel? And I think you're right. Yeah. Eberflus would say, no, that's not everything he's saying. Sounds good, but it might not be in fact.
Well, I think the hardest problem is Kevin Warren's job is to figure out why we're winning and why we're losing. And he has to find somebody who can solve those issues. It's why Philadelphia is successful this year.
Yeah.
Philadelphia went into the offseason last year and they said, the reason we lost is because we did not have a great run game. And the reason we lost is because our strength and conditioning program let our team get out of shape. And so they corrected both those areas. And now they're back to where they were 2 years ago when they went to the Super Bowl. And it's the same thing in Chicago. Can they figure out why they win and why they lose? And he's sitting next to a guy who built one of the worst offensive lines in football. He's sitting next to a guy that doesn't draft defensive linemen, that keeps letting them go. Drafted Rome Odunze with the 9th pick and paid Keenan Allen $22 million. So they're playing Madden football. They're not playing Chicago Bear football.
Great stuff. Love it. We'll see where the Bears go. But right now, they can only go up because it's been a disaster so far in Chicago. That's why Matt Eberflus is no longer there. Let's get to the Lombardi Line Game of the Week. It is presented by Lowe's, and it is the Chargers and the Chiefs. And Michael, very quickly on this, Elliot Bowman does a great job producing this show each and every day. Can we throw a penalty flag on the field for the first question in this matchup today? Who's got the edge at quarterback? Michael.
Yeah.
Do we throw a flag on Elliot for that?
Well, I mean, look, when you break the numbers down, it's a fair question to ask, Dave. The Chiefs, 28th in the league in explosive plays this year, 30th in explosive rushes. The percentage of 10-yard plays is at 7.6. They're 24th in yards per rush. They've only had two runs over 25 yards all year. They're 27th in 4-yard gains. They're last in yards per catch after with that. I mean, so look, where they're really great is they're incredible on third down, and that's a tribute to Mahomes. They're able to convert those third downs. They have the best passer rating in the National Football League on third down. And so that's where they gain the advantage. But this offense is far from explosive, and they really haven't been very good in that area. So I think, to me, you know, the question is, they don't have great skill. It's just fact, right? I mean, I know Kelsey's a great player. I get that. Worthy's starting to come along. Hopkins will catch anything thrown to him. But the Chiefs have better areas, but the Chiefs have no tackles. I mean, Taylor's a disaster at right tackle. He lines up like he's on the punt team every play. They just don't call it, right? You could call it every time, right? I mean, he refuses to change because he gets away with it, right? And the left tackle is a disaster. The left tackle is a huge problem for them with DJ. Now, whether DJ Humphries can go back and play good, I don't know. DJ Humphries wasn't a great player for Arizona.
Mm. By the way, that's why Elliot Bowman produces the show, because it's actually a fair question. So we'll find out how this is going to play out on Sunday. Right now, Chiefs, 3.5-point favorites, that total sitting at 43. So while I always look at it and go, it's got to be 15, it's got to be Patrick Mahomes, you look inside the numbers, you can see why that question is closer than it may appear to the naked eye. That is the Lombardi Line Game of the Week, the Chiefs and the Chargers. When we come back, we're going to look at an offer maybe that you can't refuse, or a bet that's doomed to lose. That's next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Continuing our conversation on this Tuesday here on the Lombardi Line, Dave Ross, Michael Lombardi here with you. Michael, we do have some breaking news from the NFL. Azeez Al-Shaahir is going to be suspended 3 games by the league for his hit against Trevor Lawrence. We all saw it, a lot of reaction to it. Michael, let me just ask you very quickly, the semantics of that. And also, is this because kind of the repeat offender category, or is it just solely, in your estimation, that hit against Trevor Lawrence on Sunday?
I think it's a combination of the hit, and then it's also the combination of the behavior after the hit, right? Mm. I think it was the black eye that he put on the National Football League in terms of his behavior after the penalty, after the hit, and how everybody reacted. And how he went constantly going after it, and he was going after the bench, and it was almost really out of control. And so I think it's a combination of those two things that go together.
There was also a little compilation video that was making the rounds on X that maybe this isn't the first time Al-Shaahir's been involved, you know, with late hits against Pollard against Tennessee a couple weeks ago, even going back to his Niner days where he kind of got one in the throat of Tom Brady on the pass rush. I don't know if we're just singling them out now, if you could do that for every player, but it does feel like maybe with the high profile nature of that hit on Sunday and that you're spot on. Do you think he'll plead this down, if you will, from the 3 games?
Yeah, the union will typically take this over and represent him. They have to, right? And they'll take it over and they'll try to appeal it. And if there's some kind of appeal, I could see it going down to 2 games. Because remember, when you get suspended for 3 games, that's 3 game checks.
Right.
And so that becomes a real issue. And especially for players who have a large paragraph 5. A lot of these guys don't. They got all their money in advance in terms of they guaranteed their salary. But this year, probably because he was a free agent signing by Houston, that number won't be as high. But I think, to me, he'll appeal it and maybe he can get it down to 2 games. But I think this is well-deserved, Dave. I think his behavior, his performance after the play, the hit was really bad.
Yeah.
But then what made it worse was his behavior afterwards. And to me, that's what something the league doesn't want. Look, the league doesn't want what was happening in college football, which is all these fights going on the field and having it be a black eye for the league. They want to do away with that. They want to make sure that things are controlled on the field as best they can. And the only way you can get control is to have discipline given out. And what affects discipline more than anything? The green stuff. That's what affects everybody. The green stuff, right?
Yeah.
And when you suspend players or you take money from a player's pocket, whether it's their per diem or their game check, they complain and they fall in line.
Yeah, you're right. It always is. It's going to get down to the brass tacks and that money. Let's see if that changes the patterns for Al Shaheer, because it does feel like they've been forming through the years. But officially right now, a 3-game suspension down from the NFL, as Michael pointed out. We'll see what the NFLPA says about this, but this is where it stands right now. By the way, speaking of money, we got a really good deal here at VSiN right now. $9.99 for the first 30 days. If you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber as of yet, 19 hours live programming. Always check us out on the VSiN app, by the way. The watch app's fantastic. So as a VSiN Pro subscriber, you're going to get access to everything we do for as little as $9.99. So again, that's VSiN.com/subscribe, and you can do so right now. I want to get to an offer you can't refuse, or a bet, Michael, that is doomed to lose. And the first one's interesting, because if you're like, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, but I grew up in upstate New York, and I find myself rooting for the Buffalo Bills to get back to those glory days of Jim Kelly, went to 4 Super Bowls, never won one. You can make a bet right now, the Bills to earn the number one seed at +$1.40, meaning we got to at least be tied with Kansas City, because you got that game in pocket with the head-to-head. Michael, is this an offer you can't refuse at plus money, or a bet that's doomed to lose?
No, I think it's an offer you could bet. I mean, I think they could do it. Now, the Chiefs' schedule is favorable, but they're vulnerable. I mean, we know they're vulnerable. They are lucky. I mean, you know, some of these websites, I don't know if you pay attention to them, Dave, but some of these, like, people have come up with what they consider the luck ratings. Have you seen any of this before? So there's one site that has these that basically they go through all the stats, and they have these rankings, and they're called the luck rate rankings. You know, basically it's just luck. And the number one team in the National Football League is the Kansas City Chiefs, with a luck rating of 3.4. I don't know how they come up with the number. I look at it every week, right? Yeah. But I think it plays out. You know who's number two?
Pittsburgh?
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Pittsburgh's 4 at 1.5.
Okay.
But Kansas City's at 3.4. The next team, the team with no luck at all, the team who's mush, the Jets, they're -2.4. Same with Cincinnati. Oh, and the Chicago too. So I don't know if it's luck or incompetence. I'm not sure. But to me, you know, Kansas City's been very lucky. So to say that, you know, they're going to clearly get home field because of their superior play, no. Where I could say to Philadelphia or Detroit, their play could indicate getting home field. Kansas City, they're just not there yet.
You know, in golf, the forbidden word is yips. In betting, it's mush, right? You just don't give me a mush. We got some mushes out there. Maybe the Bears, as you mentioned, they've been a mush. The Eagles, I believe in them. Michael, you told me all about them also. I didn't want to listen, right? I just didn't want to believe that the coordinators would make them so much better, but they are. I mean, it's clear to see with the Eagles right now. They are +$1.90 right now, Michael, to earn the number one seed in the NFC. That means you got to run down the Lions. Is that an offer you can't refuse, or a bet that's doomed to lose?
You better take it now, because if Detroit loses on Thursday night to Green Bay, that number's coming way down. That might get to minus number there, right?
Yeah.
That might get to a minus number. So I think you better take it. That's definitely an offer you've got to take. I think you can't refuse that offer there. I think you have to.
I tend to agree. The way they're playing, Jalen Hurts realizing he doesn't have to make every play. We can run the football. Kellen Moore's, I think he's improved dramatically as a play caller. To know what he has, it could be an offer you can't refuse. Look, I've got a vested interest in this next one. I got the Purple People Eaters here. 11-1 was a summertime bet that I made. Michael, I'm holding on for dear life every week. They're not covering numbers, but they figure out ways to win. Is it an offer you can't refuse at 4-1 now that the Vikings can still win the North?
And that's one you're doomed to lose. I can't see him doing it. I mean, I think to me, I don't think Detroit's going to stub their toe that much, right?
Yeah.
I just don't think that. And, you know, I think it's still debatable whether Green Bay could catch Minnesota, right? I think that's the battle too. But, you know, at 4-1, I'm not sure it's a worthwhile. If you had better number, I would lay in for it. But 4-1, I don't think is good enough, Dave.
No, I agree. And I can't believe that they're sitting there at 10-2, and that's not good enough to even have a co-leadership right now of the division. That's how good Detroit's been. Oh, boy, this feels like just for Elliot Bowman. Offer you can't refuse or a bet that's doomed to lose. Can the Horseshoes clinch an AFC wildcard spot? Plus 250, Michael. What do you make of Anthony Richardson and the Colts?
Well, they're two behind Denver right now. That's an offer you're doomed to lose. I mean, I think to me, that's a, I don't see how they do it because look, Gussie could lose a game at any moment with his defense. Let's be clear. I mean, they take an average quarterback. Like it's the Buddy Ryan. If you play spot drop zones, not Buddy Ryan, excuse me, Bud Carson.
Right.
You make every quarterback look great. That's what they do. That's what Chicago does. They just spot drop and they rely on the talent of their defensive front, which in Chicago's case, in Indianapolis' case, in San Francisco's case, they're just not good enough. Like you have to have more scheme. You have to have a utility belt. You got to be like Batman. You got to have a utility belt if you're a defensive coordinator. Because if you just want to play one scheme, you better be really good. San Francisco got away with it for 3 years because they were really good. But you look at the San Francisco defensive line from 3 years ago to the San Francisco defensive line today, it's completely different. And so you got to be able to understand that. And if you don't, it's a real problem. And I think to me, that's the issue here.
Yeah, sorry, Elliot. Don't play the Colts. I think that's what Michael's telling you.
He knows it. He knows it.
He knows. Okay. You know, I'm saying, hey, I got this great ticket 11-1 for the Vikings. The worst bet that I made this year, Michael, after week 4, I think it was, I ran down to the Westgate here in town and bet the Giants to win the division at 50-1.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Oh my God.
What prompted
you to bet the Giants?
I thought their defense, Michael and Thibodeau, and I thought they'll be in every game defensively and Daniel. It was a terrible bet. Now you can bet the Giants over a win total at 3.5 at plus money, plus $1.06. Like Brian Daboll, like Michael, I thought I could trust him. Is that an offer you can't refuse to get four?
I'm not playing that. There's no way. They just put Dexter Lawrence on injured reserve. That locker room, you know, at Christmas, what do we have? We have, what is that?
3 weeks.
Right. Okay. But like I have 5 grandchildren and so they all believe in Santa. Right. And so the shelf on the elf, they have to find it every morning.
Yeah.
And they do the countdown to the end of the season until Christmas gets here when they get all their gifts. Well, that's what Giants locker room's like. They got an elf on the shelf in their locker room and they've got a calendar counting the days to get to the end of the year. You think they have any interest in winning any more games?
Michael.
I mean, they put Lawrence on. I mean, we don't even know. Who's he starting at quarterback this week?
I don't know.
Is he starting DeVito?
The Eagles were 2-2 when I made that bet. They haven't lost since. I'll take personal responsibility. Coming back with Jonathan Von Tobel next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue the conversation here on the Lombardi Line on a Tuesday. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi here with you. Michael, it's great having, of course, Matt Eumanns on every Tuesday. And we also get Jonathan Von Tobel on. So you get that dynamic duo here on the Lombardi Line on a Tuesday. You can follow Jonathan as I do on X at MeJVT. Joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. And Jonathan, I value your opinions. I value your information, your knowledge. And one team that you've been so far ahead of the curve on all year in college football has been those running Rebs. And you were spot on from day one on this football team. They're playing Boise State this weekend. Do you still think that UNLV, with an impressive win, obviously they would get into the college football playoff? I mean, could you imagine we're having that conversation, that one win away from the college football playoff? Did you see that? Did you really think, yeah, this team can win this conference and 4-point underdogs here, they're one step away from accomplishing their goal?
Well, I think there's, first off, we should make an important correction here, and maybe Michael would know this as he has some ties to the program. Remember, guys, the football program is the Rebels. The running Rebels is only specifically for the basketball teams. Let's get that in mind. But no, I think, yes, you saw this coming to an extent. Look, I have a preseason ticket that we wrote up there in the college football guide. I got it over at Circuit 8-1 for this team to win the conference. So, like, I thought that this UNLV team could win it. In fact, in our guide, I was the only one that picked UNLV out of everybody else who picked Boise State. So I did think that this was something that could happen. Again, the question with this game now you ask yourself is this upgrade warranted? Guys, remember when they played here at Allegiant a few weeks back, it was about a month ago or so, Boise State was laying this number on the road. Now here they are at home in a conference championship game laying 4. So that is a very clear upgrade for UNLV, and rightfully so. They have won their last 4 games. They are 2-1-1 against the spread, depending on that closing number in the San Diego State game, with a plus 58-point differential. Among those contests was a non-cover against Hawaii, in which they didn't have their second-best receiver, Jacob DeJesus, who is now healthy and available and has looked great. So I do think this team's capable of coming in here. And remember, out of a historic, wonderful, fantastic season so far this year, Ashton Dente's low in terms of yards per carry in a single game was against UNLV at Allegiant Stadium at just under 4 yards per carry. This team played them pretty well. So that's the question you have to ask yourself is this upgrade for UNLV warranted? And if it is it enough? Should they be upgraded more? Should this be lower? Circa opened to 6.5. I think the Rebels are live, but for me, with a ticket, I think that this is going to be one where I'm going to play differently than I would if I didn't have anything. But if I didn't have anything, still think UNLV, even with the upgrade catching 4, is live to not only cover, but win this game outright.
Wow. Okay, so Georgia barely gets by. 8 overtimes they play Georgia Tech. And you just had a feeling watching that game that Georgia was going to somehow win. But when it went up 20-7-13, I thought, well, the only way they lose is if they turn it over. And, of course, they turned it over. So now they, after playing 8, whatever you want to call it, quarters or whatever it was, they got to play a Texas team that I'm still not sold on. You know, everybody was taking A&M last week on the money line, on the points. And Georgia and Texas just, I mean, A&M couldn't score a point. So handicap this game for us, and who do you like?
You know, Michael, if you went to, we were making the joke, Will Hill and I, if you went to the VSiN picks page on Saturday, every single pro had Syracuse, right? The VSiN pro picks, Syracuse against Miami. And almost everybody had Texas A&M against Texas.
Everybody.
Except for one lone man had the courage to lay the points there with the Longhorns. Look, I like this Texas team a lot. And I think that one of the things that has stuck out with me with watching Georgia, especially when they have looked their worst, is it's been surprising that this line of scrimmage battle has been lost by them in each of the games, which they've looked pretty poor.
Yeah.
And look, I don't know if I trust Texas in multiple different facets, right? That game against Texas A&M, like I said, I laid the points. That should not have been anything that you had to sweat at all. But multiple red zone turnovers are going to keep an opponent in that game. Special teams issues, all of those things. Having said that, I kind of believe in Texas here. Again, we're seeing a slight market upgrade in terms of what we've seen, but I think the one thing that I know I can trust is that this Texas defensive line with a bunch of freaks in their own right, I think are going to be able to cause some havoc up front against Carson Beck in this offense, and by extension, be in a pretty good spot to win this game, even in Atlanta. So I like this Texas squad. I backed them last week against Texas A&M. I'm going to give this one more shot here and think that the weaknesses that I've seen from Georgia, specifically along the lines of scrimmage on offense, are going to come to fruition against the Texas defensive front that I really like.
I'm just glad that everybody was right about Syracuse.
That's right. Your boys.
Come on, let's go. When you look at, you know, Big 12 championship football, Jonathan, I think we all think Iowa State and Arizona State. Like, who saw this coming this summer? And we see Arizona State right now, small favorites against Iowa State. What's the right side to be on here? Because I'm really confused by this number. It's come down a little bit, down to 2 here with the Sun Devils.
So I think it's Iowa State, and this is a really interesting spot because, again, at this point of the year, guys, there's so much baked into these numbers, and you have these market upgrades, and you don't know what, excuse me, you do know what you know from these teams in terms of the data points, but the question you have to ask is, are we at a point now with these market ratings where they're accurate? And so, for example, you get Arizona State. They're 5-2 against the number. They've been covering by about a touchdown a game. They've been absolutely fantastic, right? But when you look at this overall, this is a big role reversal, especially for Iowa State. Guys, the Cyclones closed as underdogs just one time this season. That was in the Cy-Hawk Bowl where they eventually won against Iowa. This has been a team that has been favored in every single game but one they have played so far. And obviously, remember, that was way back in September. Mm-hmm. And look, they're 7-5 against the spread. They've been doing a pretty decent job. So is Cam Scataboo and the Arizona Sun Devils, Arizona State Sun Devils, is this upgrade warranted? And I think we should upgrade this team, but I still think that Iowa State is closer to a slightly better team at a neutral than Arizona State. They have been absolutely tremendous, but I believe in this Iowa State team. I think defensively as well, I do think that they're going to be here in a spot. You're talking about a top 20 defense right now in multiple spots in terms of EPA per rush, EPA per dropback, and many different other things like defensive success rate against the run. I think they're going to be able to come up here against this team and I think play a pretty sound game and get this win outright in the Big 12 championship. So I think the pendulum swung a little too far. Give me the Iowa State Cyclones this weekend.
All right, let's shift into pro football. You know, the Raiders with the dazzling Antonio Pierce leadership goes to Tampa to play the Bucs, right? It seems like too easy, right? Bucs, Baker Mayfield injured, coming off an overtime win that they probably shouldn't have gotten against the Panthers, and the Raiders should have had a win against the Chiefs. What's your handicap?
Yeah, I don't know why you're going to run a play, why you're going to spike the ball just to run another play to run the clock and then spike it again. Regardless, Antonio Pierce, we kind of know where we're at this point right now. Look, I hate to say this, but I think the Raiders are kind of live here, catching a full seven. You mentioned it, Michael. Look, this comes from somebody that has backed this Carolina Panthers team every week since that loss to the Denver Broncos when Bryce Young was really starting to turn around. But I do think when I watch that, this Buccaneers team, we know statistically one of the worst defenses in the NFL. They've been beat up on that end. We'll see what the injury report looks like. But I think that the one thing you have to give Aiden O'Connell credit for is they went into that game, and the Chiefs at this point, since the injury in their secondary, look like a subpar secondary. And Aiden O'Connell did a pretty good job against them. And I think that they're going to be pretty live against one of the statistically worst defenses in the NFL and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't know if I could trust the Bucs to lay a key number here at home against a Raiders squad that at least has shown some competency to an extent to at least stay in some of these numbers. And I do think that this Buccaneers offense has shown some volatility. We know what Baker Mayfield is. He's a gunslinger. That also means he puts the ball in danger, as we saw against the Carolina Panthers multiple times. There's a chance that that happens here. So I was surprised that we get the seven. It's shaded to the favorite side too. So maybe hold out, see if you can get a 7.5. But I'll be on the Raiders, unfortunately, this weekend against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Think it's too big of a number.
JVT, you go back a couple weeks ago, the Eagles on the road, Sunday Night Football. Saquon has that monster game against the Rams to get the win. Then they go on the road, take on the Ravens. High-profile game there. They get the win as well. Now they're back home. Is it a sleepy spot against Carolina, laying 12.5 at home? Or do you think Fly Eagle Fly flies again?
Yeah, so I'm very interested here because, as I mentioned, Dave, go back to that Denver Broncos game for Carolina. I have bet on them every game since that one, and it has worked out for the most part, other than the one that we're talking about here. And I do think they would come back one more time and do this, because if you look at the game for Philly, one of the things that really sticks out for you in that win over Baltimore, 24-17 edge in first downs for Baltimore, 372-252 edge in terms of a total yardage, 5.2 yards per play to just 4.7 for Baltimore. I don't want to take too much from Philly's win over the Baltimore Ravens, especially when you have a kicker that all of a sudden just can't make a kick to save his life. It's a little bit of a different scenario, I think, for the Ravens if we know that Justin Tucker can actually get it done from distance. So I think when I look at this overall, this Panthers team has treated me pretty well. And I think Bryce Young has shown that he is capable of growing and getting better. These wide receivers, now that they're a little bit healthy, we saw Adam Thielen impact that game over the weekend. I think this Panthers team is better. I think that I'm going to continue to ride this train until it blows up in my face against an Eagles squad that I think maybe the public sentiment might be a lot stronger after that game against Baltimore than what it really should be.
All right. Don't tell me you're on the Jets. Don't. I know you're too smart to be on the Jets. We only got about a 40 seconds left. Are you on the Jets or not?
I'm thinking about it. Can I just say really quickly, every single week, the market has moved in favor of New York, and I never understood it, Michael, but for the first time, we're starting to see the market move against them this week, and I do think that kind of sets off some alarm bells. I want seven. I'll just say that really quickly. If it gets to seven, count me in, but until then, I'll be sitting on the sidelines.
If they wear those awful green and black uniforms, JVT, I don't know if I want to be on that side. great stuff. Thanks for joining us, as always, in the Progressive guest line here, Jonathan.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Very quickly, everybody out there, if you are a backer of the Ponies, our friends over at First Bet, they got you covered. So you sign up today, you can get exclusive promotions, hundreds of wagers on exciting horse races every day across the country and really around the world. Sign up firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use the promo code VSiN200. Get a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Get over to firstbet.com and do so today. Do we have some news or noise? That's next here in the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Wrapping up the Tuesday edition of the Lombardi Line, Dave Ross, Michael Lombardi here with you with a segment that we have questions. We need answers, Michael. Is this news or noise?
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise?
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
We know, Michael, there are a couple jobs that are currently open, right? Jets got an interim guy. Bears have an interim guy. The CEO of the Bears, Kevin Warren, said, and I quote, "This will be the most coveted job in the NFL this year." Michael Lombardi, is that news or noise?
That's a salesman. That's what he has to say. He's the president of the team. He's selling it. You know, I think to me, Jacksonville could be a more coveted job. They're a better team, but maybe they don't have the better quarterback. I think, look, when you only have 32 of something, they're all coveted, right?
Yeah.
But to me, I think a lot of this has to look at how are we built and how does the organization run? And this is now going to be, you know, Matt Nagy went to the playoffs, but we've gone through some coaches here. So this isn't like an organization that has been making the playoffs every single year. There's a reason for that.
You know, in hockey, it's the original six, right? That you kind of look back at the history of the league and you go, boy, these are the coveted franchises. The Bears are still that, right? Even though maybe the cachet and through the years, but it is still the Bears. Like, is that a good situation to walk into? Do you have to be an established coach, I guess is a better question, than versus a guy that's, because they've gone the unestablished route. And Michael, that's not working out with the Nagys and the Eberfluses.
No, I mean, look, since the Super Bowl, they've only been to the, since the Super Bowl that they lost in 2006, they haven't been to the, they've only been to the playoffs three times. Once they lost the conference and they lost the wild card. I mean, this hasn't been a franchise that endears itself towards winning. I mean, Lovie Smith, Mark Trestman, John Fox, Matt Nagy, Matt Eberflus, and now Thomas Brown. So, you know, and before that, I mean, if you go before they hired Lovie, they had Dick Geron, Dave Wannstedt. I mean, Dick, you know, they won the Super Bowl. That Dick had them going. They had, of course, they had a great team. Bill Tobin, God rest his soul, did a wonderful job of building that roster with incredible talent. We know the 85 Bears with that defense. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it is this has not been a traditionally winning franchise. I mean, you know, you go from 95 to 2001, that's they don't make the playoffs. Then the next time they make it is in 5 and 6. Then they have three more years where they don't make it. Then they go another 6 years and they don't make it. And then, you know, they haven't made it in 4 years. So this isn't like a historically winning franchise. It's a historic organization. Organizationally, it isn't historically winning.
Fair, totally fair. And then the proof's in the pudding and the wins have not been there historically here, at least in the last couple decades for the Bears. They're winning a lot in Detroit, and maybe sometimes it's because of the protections they're drawing up for the quarterback. Jahmyr Gibbs, it seemed like a little bit of a stir that you saw the protections on a whiteboard, and this got leaked out. So, Michael, I want you to hear from Dan Campbell and then tell me if this is news or noise.
I know what it is, but I'm like, you know what? We might as well just put everything out there. I don't really give a crap. I mean, if we're going to lose because of code words, then we're not good enough anyway. So I think we'll just post the whole freaking playbook out there and every code word we've got. And it doesn't matter. It's not going to hurt us. It won't affect us. And it's all good.
Yeah, it's not the protections that they know. It's the code word to get them into the protection, right? So when they change it to Roger, Roger, then they're going, you know, you know what they are. A lot of teams know the code words. That's why when you do advanced scouting for these games, you watch the TV copy. Not because you're interested in what Chris Collinsworth has to say, because you kind of try to mute him out. You're interested to hear what the quarterback's saying at the line. Ringo, 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 lucky, 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 you know, all those calls. Eventually, you end up knowing what the code words are on most teams, and that's what you try to do. People steal the code words all the time, and Dan's right. It does. Sometimes you can steal them. It just doesn't mean you have an answer for it.
By the way, audio call on Dan Campbell. Sounds like our own Matt Eumanns. Just going to throw that out there. But that was Dan Campbell, by the way. We know right now Justin Tucker, if you're going to put kickers in the Hall of Fame, he's probably going to go to the Hall of Fame one day. We also know he's really struggling right now in Baltimore. So I want you to hear from the head coach, John Harbaugh, on his kicker, and you tell me if this is news or noise.
believe there's any merits to bringing in another kicker, at least to have him on the practice squad, maybe to work out guys, and, you know, because you guys haven't had to look at kickers in a long time.
Right, yeah, I don't think there'd be anything wrong with that. You know, I wouldn't want it to be a message or anything like that, other than the fact that you want to turn over every stone and make sure you've seen all the guys at every position. If there were guys out there that Randy looked at and our scouts looked at and said that was something that you know, we should do, we would do it. But I don't think that's the answer, knowing, you know, from what I've talked to Randy and the scouts, knowing who's out there right now. That's not to say there aren't guys capable, but there's nobody nearly as good as Justin Tucker out there.
Well, I think there's nobody nearly as good as Justin Tucker was, is the answer to that question. Justin Tucker's not very good right now. I mean, look, I said this about, you know, Dustin Hopkins last night. I don't trust him. I don't trust Tucker anymore. And that's a long way of saying it, because Tucker used to trust emphatically. But the reality of it is he's just not the same kicker that he once was. Now, I agree. There's nobody that has his track record that's on the street, because that's a little naive to say, because would they be on the street if they had his track record? But I think the question isn't about where is he now? It's a question of, is this the end? I mean, Adam Vinatieri, the Colts waited way too long to make a kicking change and ruin their season. I just hope this season doesn't come down to Tucker having to make a big kick and all of us knowing that it might not go through the upright.
Yeah, the confidence level clearly, it does not feel like it's there. I know the coach is saying the right things, but you're right. It gets down to it. It feels dicey right now, 50-50 proposition at best. You know, we've had some fun at the Bengals' expense here. You know, Joey B said a couple weeks ago in the show, hey, don't worry about us. We're going to be fine. Won 10 games. Can't win 10 anymore. I want you to hear from the Bengals' quarterback and tell me if this about who they are now is news or noise.
Yeah, I think we'll learn a lot about who we have in the locker room, the guys that we can count on going forward, the guys that we can't. And, you know, I think the next 6 weeks, 5 weeks are going to say a lot about who we can count on and who we can't.
He sounds like the head coach. That's what the head coach should be saying.
Yes, yes.
That's what the news here, David, is that Joe Burrow is acting like the head coach, not the quarterback, right? That's the news. I mean, let's be clear here that you need that kind of leadership. And so that's just, I love that I hear it from Burrow. I wish I heard it from Zach Taylor. I wish he would say, can Zach Taylor make us a tougher team, please?
That's a great takeaway. It's exactly that. I'm watching that and I'm thinking, is this the offensive coordinator? Is this the head? Like, this is the quarterback of the team. It's great leadership, but you're right. You'd kind of like to see that leadership come. Zach Taylor, maybe you should be having those same conversations that Joe Burrow is having. Fascinating. I got to get to our best bets, Michael, here. They are brought to us by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. We had Matt Heumann's JVT on here on the show today. One game in particular, obviously, we're going to talk a lot about tomorrow and Thursday, of course, is to kick off Week 14. It's the Packers and the Lions, 3.5. And I know Matt is looking to the Packers side there. Total of 51. In order for that game script to get there for Matt, do you see a lot of Josh Jacobs in this game? And maybe let's not go possession for possession with Detroit and try to limit those possessions.
Well, I think, you know, look, Detroit's hard to run the ball on. I mean, when they're healthy up front, they're hard to run the ball on. I mean, I think Love, you know, for the Packers to be successful, it's got to be a really good balanced team. And I think to get the over total in the game, what you're saying is you're going to get some plays on the Packer defense, which I think is there to be made, right? And it's perfect conditions. You don't have to worry about that. Both quarterbacks should be able to make plays against the secondary. I kind of lend myself to thinking this is going to be, you're going to get Jacobs, you have to, but it's going to be, the game's going to come down to what quarterback plays the best. Mm.
Yeah, and certainly Jared Goff still in the MVP discussion. I don't think he's can win the award now, but certainly the ball does not touch the ground a lot with his completion percentage this year. Matt's also on the Rams, and this is, you know, the Bills have already wrapped up the AFC East. They're going to get they're going to give 4.5 in SoFi. We talked about home field that really doesn't exist a whole lot anymore. What do you make of that play, Michael? Because as somebody's, I'm rooting for the Bills for my Seattle to win the division at 6-1. This game does worry me a little bit, a week off of coming up, wrapping up the division so quickly.
Well, here's the thing with the Rams. If they can't run the ball, they can't win the game. And you can run the ball on Buffalo. The question is do you think the Rams defense can slow them down? Now, they just claimed Emmanuel Forbes off the waiver wire from the Washington Commanders. And I think to me,
you know, that tells you a lot about what they think. Forbes has been a disaster. First round pick out of Mississippi State. You know, he was 165 pounds. A lot of people thought he was too thin to play in the league, but they took him anyway under the direction of Martin Mayhew and Marty Herney and Ron Rivera. And now he's on the street. So it tells you what they think about their secondary. I think Buffalo's a determined team. I have a hard time staying in front of them. I agree with Matt. It may be a closer game, but the Rams wore down against good opponents.
By the way, G-Bank Visa signature card, your best bet, 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions, 2% cashback on all other eligible purchases. Go to VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSIN.com/G-Bank. Subject credit approval. Terms and conditions do apply. Thanks, Michael. We'll see you tomorrow on the Lombardi Line.